to the Hawaiian bobtail squid. Our science commentator, Susie Wiles, is with us. How are you?
Well, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
You've got squids on the brain at the moment. They're wonderful creatures, aren't they?
They're beautiful, and this one especially is a lovely little creature.
Where does the little Hawaiian bobtail, is he little or big, or she?
A little. So they're about 3 centimetres in length. That's the length of their mantle, which is the kind of bulbous bit. So squid have this sort of bulbous bit, and then they have the tentacles that they use to grab their prey and bring it into their mouth. So they're about 3 centimetres of the mantle bit.
And why is the Hawaiian bobtail squid on your mind?
Oh, because I'm obsessed with things that glow in the dark. And this is
naturally, by the way, we were talking about biotechnology and glowing goldfish and all these kinds of things that is happening in the lab. But nature's done this all by itself.
Oh, absolutely. It's evolved many, many times for all sorts of different things. So, we have the glowworm who use light to find their food. And the Hawaiian bobtail squid is using the same sort of system, but and to find their food again, but in a slightly different way. So instead of things being attracted to the light, the food being attracted to the light, they glow to essentially hide themselves. It's like an invisibility cloak, because these little guys are nocturnal. So they live off Hawaii, and they swim around in the moonlight. And the idea is that they would cast a shadow in the moonlight that could be seen by both the food they're after, it's like little shrimp and stuff, but also by other fish who would then say, "Oh, this is an easy meal."
You are particularly interested in them, or you've done a lot of work on them. Is this part of a project that you've worked on, an animation project?
Yeah, so I don't do any research on the actual creatures, but I'm really interested in things that glow in nature and how they can be a fantastic way of, I mean, they're a great nature story, but they can also be a fantastic way to tell people about science and how people like me use this bioluminescence in their research. So last year, I started this project with an animator in Australia to make a couple of animations about a glowing creature and then how we use light in science. So last year, there was one about the firefly and how they use light and then how we can use light. So how I would use it in my research, or also how NASA would use it in the search for extraterrestrial life, which is kind of awesome. So how you get from a firefly to NASA is kind of like, what? And so that one was quite successful. And then I got some money from a charity in the UK called the Society for Applied Microbiology to make another animation, but this time that had a microbiology feel to it. And hence the Hawaiian bobtail squid, because they use glowing bacteria to produce their light.
Now, she wants to disguise or to hide or her squid self. So what is the logic of the luminescence? How does it work?
So it's like having a torch, essentially. So while this creature is swimming around, if it was under the moonlight, it would cast a shadow. And so what they have is this this actual organ called a light organ on their underside that houses this colony of glowing bacteria. And this colony of glowing bacteria emits the light that then hides their shadow. So they look, if you look at them from underneath, they look like part of the moon. It's kind of crazy, really.
And how do they produce it? What are they using? Bacteria?
Yeah, so they have a glowing bacteria. And it's a really incredible system, because what they're doing is providing a home for the bacteria and nutrients, I guess, so the bacteria can survive. But then, and while using the light to form this really important this camouflage. And it's really interesting. So scientists that have taken this particular organism, the bacteria, and made mutants of it that don't glow, cannot colonize this light organ of the squid. They can't stay there. So there's something about the fact that it's the light that has to be produced for the bacteria to live in this environment.
But symbiosis is just about the most fascinating thing in biology, isn't it?
It is.
We just always find a way to use each other.
Yeah, well, that's nature.
In quite extraordinary and creative ways.
Yeah.
What if it's cloudy?
Wow. So this is how it works even more interesting. So the squid have an ink sac, and what the last thing you want if a cloud comes over the moon is to suddenly then be this kind of beaming light, really going, oh my God, there they are. So they use their ink sac to actually match the intensity of light that falls on their back, or moonlight that falls on their back, to dim down the light that's produced. So they can do this really, really quickly and really cleverly. So it also helps as they're moving through different depths of water, because light from the moon will change the amount of light that is visible. So they use their ink sac to actually match this moonlight. It's incredible.
That is incredible. Not only that, they develop this during their life cycle. They're not born with it, are they, the ability to do this?
Yeah, so juvenile squid hatch out and they don't have this bacteria, and that's one of the first things they've got to do is get it. So they have their light organ isn't developed at that stage. It's just like a hole into their body that gets kind of washed with seawater. And what's incredible is this, there are lots of organisms, bacteria and viruses in seawater, and yet it's only this particular bacteria that manages to attach, and then this whole process starts where the light organ starts to form. The cells all change to basically be the right organ for these bacteria to grow in. And this is kind of really important. So there has to be lots of this bacteria around in the water for all these juvenile squid to get the bacteria.
How do they know which bacteria to get? Because obviously it's bacteria you want and bacteria you don't want, whatever you are. So how does it discern?
So there'll be something to do with the actual, think of like locks and keys. So there'll be something that the bacteria produces and that the cells of the squid produce that are like a really good match. And unless you have that match, they won't stay there.
And both need this. The bacteria doesn't survive without, I think you told us earlier, without the squid either.
Well, they survive in the water, but they really, seawater is not going to have huge amounts of nutrients and things in it, so they're not going to grow.
They're better off attached to a squid.
Yeah, they're not going to grow to the kind of populations that they could do if they were inside this light organ and travel around as well.
How many bacteria do you need per squid?
Oh, a lot.
So there's plenty of them out there.
Yeah. So what the squid actually does, it's really clever. It's nocturnal. So it spends the day sleeping buried in the sand, and then when it comes out at night is when it starts to glow. And what it does is when it buries itself in the sand at the end of the, in the morning to go to sleep, it expels like 99.9% of all the bacteria in its light organ into the water. So this keeps the bacteria levels in the water high for the juvenile squid. But it also means that during the day while the squid is asleep, the bacteria start to divide and replicate. And so that they have reached just the right number of bacteria to basically glow when the squid emerges at night to hunt.
I'm watching your animation on our website right now and just loving it. Thank you, listeners. RadioNZ.co.nz/9 to noon. You need to go on the show notes page, I think, not the audio. So just remember, they sit next to each other. Just click on show notes. And there's a little delightful little animation going on here. He's quite a little squid.
Yes.
He's not a humongous, what do we call them? The giant?
Oh, the yes.
Colossal. He's not colossal at all. No. Right, forgive my digression. So plenty of bacteria in them that pair up with the hedge squid, they expel them from the light. They expel most of them from the light organ out to the sea.
Because this is what bacteria do.
They're not wasting them.
Mm. No. And obviously once you've got one or two bacteria, then they start to grow. They've now got, once they've got nutrients around them, they start to grow and divide. And what's really interesting when we look at the light that they produce is that they only produce it when they're in a certain growth phase. So what happens when bacteria get to really high numbers is they start to run out of nutrients, and they actually kind of start to shut themselves down. And producing light is a really intense thing. So what the squid doesn't want is huge numbers of fat and lazy bacteria doing nothing, because that's useless to it. So what it does is expels them all, and then that means that there's plenty of room and plenty of nutrients available. So the bacteria that are survived, are left there will now start growing up and dividing. One of the amazing things I think about this symbiosis taught us was that you never know what you're going to find out by studying something. And so the study of the bacteria that are involved in the symbiosis led us to understand that bacteria actually communicate with each other. Because these organisms, so when the scientists were studying them in the bacteria in the lab, they noticed that they only turned on light when they reached a critical you know, population mess. Size. Yeah. Mm. And this makes perfect sense because there's no reason to go to all the trouble of producing light, which is incredibly energy intensive.
When you don't have enough of you to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, what is the point if nobody can see you?
This is quorum sensing. Quorum sensing. As a meeting quorum.
Yeah, yeah. So it's basically a way, they have a way of deciding whether there are enough of them, the bacteria, to do something of any consequence.
Are they communicating somehow?
They are communicating. So they all release a little chemical called the autoinducer. And it's when this chemical builds up that allows them to recognize that there are enough of them around now to do this particular thing. So in this case, it's to produce light. But it turns out when they had this this bacteria and they found this quorum sensing, they then took broth, so this sort of broth that other bacteria had been growing in, put it with this glowing bacteria to see whether it turned on light. So did other bacteria produce these same chemicals? And it turns out it's really, really common that all sorts of bacteria use this system to communicate with each other, to tell them, right, now is the time. You know, you're in the lungs of a person. Right, now turn on the genes
you need to
cause
disease.
It's
to make a lot of trouble.
Yeah. But
Well, that's interesting because it leaves us wondering in our and here we are worried sick about what's happened to the future of antibiotics. Mm. Is this a possible new front? If we can disable enough bacteria, we can stop them reaching their troublemaking point.
Yeah, so it was discovered quite a while ago, quorum sensing, and we now know the all the ways that it happens, and there must be some trick we're missing. So certainly there are quite a few research groups who are trying to you know, work on this as to whether you could use this to combat bugs. But I think it's good. It's one of these things that it sounds fantastic, but it's probably going to be a little bit more tricky.
Understood, but you hear what I'm saying. With the constant battle to produce new antibiotics, the potential to use less to achieve more is
absolutely
quite an exciting kind of premise, isn't it?
So I guess what you would want maybe are chemicals that interfere with the autoinducer, so sort of sequester it away so that they don't recognise that they're using it. But I guess what's really important about bacteria, even when they're living in us, of course, that we are full of bacteria and we have bacteria that are doing good things that are relying on their autoinducers to do that good
thing. So you have to make it specific to the bad stuff.
And that's where things become really tricky because a lot of these chemicals are shared.
So the fact that this quorum sensing, how many of us are around here and is it time to push go, the fact that this existed among bacteria was as a result of the research on the squid. That was where people clicked to it, or
yeah, it was just this discovery that the Vibrio fischeri, which is the bacterium, the symbiont, that it turns on its genes, it turns on light at this critical phase, and that was how they discovered it. It's crazy. Quite fabulous.
It is, and it's a good reason to study the Hawaiian bobtail squid.
Absolutely. I am so looking forward to going to Hawaii and hanging out with them.
People go to Hawaii for lots of reasons, but anyway.
The squid.
Just looking at, I don't want to be obsessed with size, but they are just little. I mean, are they visible to the human eye? How big are they? About 30 centimetres, I think I saw on you.
I think it's three
centimetres.
3 centimetres. Yeah, but so they are visible.
Yeah.
But I think you'd probably want to be careful you didn't squash them all. So, yeah. And I don't know how many. I mean, I'd love to go to Hawaii. I keep meaning to get in touch with the people who do this research and say, look, I want to come and I want to see these guys. Are there times of year I should come? You know, would you take me out? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
But if I do, I'll come back and tell you all about them.
It would be very exciting. Thank you, Susie Wiles, our science commentator today.